Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, brought to you by OU Israel. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Shabbat HaGadol, the big Shabbat, Parshat Tzav, and we'll consider it the pre-Pesach show. Hopefully there'll be a show next Thursday during Chol HaMoed. In the meantime, this show is a little complicated by the fact that the staff and crew of Arut Sheva are going matzah baking this afternoon, and this show has to be in earlier than usual. Most of the show will be a shear I gave to the Torah Tidbits folders yesterday on an issue which I hope will be meaningful to people listening. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod. Ki imecha ha-salicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim la-boker, shomerim la-boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai kim Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachim aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen.
Part of this is old stuff, but even old stuff is new to some people. But I have a new twist that I want to present. First is the core of the Haggadah. The goal is Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus. There's a lot of material in the Haggadah that takes its time getting there. An introductory comment, a question on that, a proof that this is really legitimate and this is works and that works, and finally, you get to the core. The core is four psukim, four verses from the Torah that summarize the story of Pesach night. Actually, permit me just to go back one step. Comparing the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus all the days of your life to the specific mitzvah of telling the story at the night of the Seder. And I thought of it in terms of an analogy to a diamond ring. A diamond ring is made up of a ring, which represents a cycle, like the cycle of the year, and a setting, which represents maybe the month of Nisan in this analogy, or maybe Pesach, to the diamond itself, which is Leil HaSeder, the Seder night. So when you look at a ring, you don't just look at the diamond, but you look at how it's set, and you look at the whole ring itself. And we have a daily command, which is fulfilled in different ways, to remember the Exodus. By the way, for women, it's particularly important to realize that even though a woman is not obligated to recite Shema, because it's a time-related positive commandment, no, women do it. There are many mitzvot that women are exempt, but they do anyway. In other words, there's reciting the Shema, and reciting the Shema in its time frame. The in its time frame does not apply to women. Although there's nothing wrong with a woman not only saying Shema, but taking upon herself to say it at the proper times also. Even a man who misses Sof Zman Kriyat Shema has an obligation to say Shema off time. And the Gemara says the schar, whatever it is, the reward for Kriyat Shema Bizmana, in its time, he doesn't get. But there is a schar for Kriyat Shema, period. I'm saying differently. I'm focusing in on one thing. Aside from whatever value Shema has for the person who recites it, which is a restatement of one's commitment to belief in God and in His unity and in mitzvot and the command to love God, all of that's there, and all of that is a benefit of reciting Shema. But there is also one aspect of Shema that a lot of people forget, and it's the last pasuk in Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hoceiti etchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim, liyot lachem le'elokim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. That pasuk is the reason the third passage of Shema is there in the first place. The first two passages, Shema v'yahavta and v'hoyahim shamoa, are there because they are the psukim, they are the passages in the Torah, the parshiot in the Torah, that command us to recite the Shema twice a day. They are the two passages in the mezuzah. They are two out of the four passages in tefillin. And they are two out of the three passages of the Shema that we recite at least twice daily. The third passage is there because of its last pasuk. Its last pasuk mentions God having taken us out of Egypt, and that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, L'ma'an tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, so that you may remember the day that you remember that God took you out of Egypt all the days of your life. In the Haggadah we have that passage of who was it? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I am like a man of 70 years old, and I don't understand, or I never understood, why that third passage of Shema, this is not what it says in the Haggadah, but this is the meaning of that Mishnah, I never understood the meaning of saying that third passage of Shema at nighttime. In the daytime it makes sense because it is Parshat Tzitzit. Parshat Tzitzit is a daytime mitzvah. It doesn't apply at night. So there was a school of thought that says the morning Shema should have three passages, the evening Shema should have just the first two. Until Ben Zoma came, Shimon Ben Zoma, and he darshaned the kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. And as we read in the Haggadah, which is borrowed from the Mishnah, the days of your life would be daytime. All the days of your life come to add something. What do they add? Nighttime as well. So that became the precedent of the concept of Yitziat Mitzrayim at nighttime, even though the tzitzis portion of that passage doesn't really go for night. And there's a rule of thumb that we don't subdivide. In other words, Chazal did not choose a pasuk, otherwise they would have chosen Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beit Avadim. They didn't choose that. They chose the passage of Tzitzis, which is a nice, neat, manageable five pasuk portion, which speaks of the mitzvah of tzitzit, speaks of seeing the mitzvah of tzitzit and remembering all mitzvot, which connected well to v'hoyahim shamoa, because v'hoyahim shamoa tishmu el mitzvotai, when you will observe all of my mitzvot, and this is the reward, and all of my mitzvot is remembered when one looks at the tzitzis. But the real place of that is that last pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoceiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyot Lachem Le'elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It boils down to this point. When a person says Shema, he is supposed to have Kavanah, or kavana, as we used to say. He's supposed to have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim every day of your life. Some newer Sidurim actually write it. Some put it in tiny print before Vayomer, in which case most people miss it, because you just go right past it without looking what it says. Some actually put it in before the last pasuk. They'll put it in tiny print saying, ah, you're about to say this last pasuk? Have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah of Lama'an tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. That's the ring of the diamond ring. The cycle of the year, every day of your life. The setting in this analogy can be what we say in the Haggadah, Yochol Me'rosh Chodesh, perhaps the mitzvah of telling about the Exodus should begin at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because the Torah keeps saying it's this month which you are getting out. This month is the first of your months. Rather than just focus on the day. Interestingly, we do this with Adar as well. Purim has a specific date in Adar, or really two dates in Adar because of Yerushalayim. But the Megillah speaks of the month of Adar as the month that our fortune changed and we emerged from darkness to light and from oppression to freedom, etc., etc. In Nisan, it's very similar. That it's the focus on the month. Therefore, the editors of the Haggadah said, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of V'higadta Levincha, and you shall tell your child, maybe I should start doing that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Talmud Lomar, Bayom Hazeh. The pasuk is V'higadta Levincha Bayom Hazeh, on that specific day. Bayom Hahu. Bayom Hahu means on that day, referring to the day of the Exodus, or the day of the Korban Pesach, which is why the Haggadah goes one step further and says, E Bayom Hahu, if you're emphasizing on that day, Yochol Mi Ba'od Yom, maybe it should be in the afternoon already of Erev Pesach, the time that the Korban Pesach was brought. Talmud Lomar, Ba'avur Zeh. The pasuk is, V'higanta Levincha Bayom Ahu Leimor, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this. Ba'avur Zeh, Osa Hashem Li B'tzeitim in Mitzrayim, this is what God did for me when he took me out of Egypt. Comes the Haggadah and says, what is Ba'avur Zeh? Show and tell. You have to have something to point to. And that's Lo Amarti Ella B'sha'a She'esh Matzah U'Maror Munachim Lefanecha. When you have matzah and maror in front of you, and you can actually pick up a piece of matzah and you say, children, it's this that symbolizes, and this is the maror, and this represents the Korban Pesach, and this represents. So it's like a show and tell experience, not just we pass through Yam Suf, but this salt water that we dip the karpas into represents, among other things, the salty water of the sea. So that's the setting of the diamond. The diamond itself is Leil HaSeder, and that gets the extra mitzvah. Just back to the other thing. The thing that we said in the Haggadah of Yimei Chayecha, Kol Yimei Chayecha, I keep saying is borrowed from a Mishnah. The Mishnah has nothing to do with Pesach. The Mishnah has to do with that third passage of Shema. And the editors of the Haggadah said, this applies to us also. And it helps understand the answer to the question, Manishtana Halayla Hazemi Kol Halayla. Why is this night different from all other nights? That we're doing at this night things that would logically belong to the daytime. Give me an example. Halel. Halel is a daytime mitzvah. But we say it at night on Pesach because the night of Pesach is like a daytime. And that's what Manishtana means. Why is this night being treated sometimes like a day, but daytime and nighttime are not the same. Give you, a chauffeur, Rosh Hashanah, first day of Rosh Hashanah. You can blow chauffeur all night long, it doesn't count. It's only a daytime mitzvah. Lulav and Etrog, you're all excited. Got a beautiful Etrog and Lulav this year? You can't do it at night. It's Sukkot. But the mitzvah doesn't apply at nighttime. Brit Milah is only a daytime mitzvah. What I started with was the bulk, not the bulk, the essence of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Comes not from Shmot, Vo'era, Bo, B'Shalach, where we would expect to find it. It comes from Parshat Ki Tavo, which was not talking about Pesach, was talking about Bikurim. V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz, when it will come to pass that you'll go into the land. Asher Hashem Elokecha notein lecha nachala, that God is giving to you as a settlement. V'yirishta, v'yashav taba, and you will settle it and dwell in it. V'lokachta me'reshit kol pri ha'adama, you will take of the first fruits. Asher tavi me'artzecha, that you will bring from the land. Asher Hashem Elokecha notein lach, that God has given you, says it again. V'samta batena, you'll put him in a basket. V'halachta el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemo sham. The new fruits, the first fruits, you will put in a basket and you will bring them to the place that God has chosen for His name to dwell there. Yes. Uvatar, I should not say yes, I should qualify that. Shavuot is known as Yom HaBikurim, the day of the Bikurim, because it is the beginning of Bikurim season. Bikurim season runs from Shavuot to Sukkot and even to Hanukkah. You cannot bring Bikurim after Hanukkah till Shavuot. And you can't bring before Shavuot. From Shavuot on, you're allowed to bring Bikurim. You have a mitzvah to bring Bikurim. Preferably between Shavuot and Sukkot. But if you haven't brought it by Sukkot, can I still bring it? Yes, until Hanukkah. And that's one of the few places that Hanukkah is mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is notorious for its not having the topic of Hanukkah in there, but it does mention it in about a half a dozen places, and this is one of them. Anyway, Uvata el HaKohen asher yihyeh bayamim ha'hem, you'll go to the Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash in that time, V'yomarta elav, and you will say to him, Higadti hayom l'ashem elokecha. Commentaries point to the word Higadti as related to the word Haggadah, as one of the reasons why this is a terrific choice to use in the Haggadah, but let's not get lost there yet. I have responded here, Kivati el ha'aretz, for I have come to the land, asher nishba Hashem la'avoteinu latet lanu. I have come to the land that God promised our ancestors to give to them and to us. V'lakach ha'kohen ha'tena mi'odecha, the Kohen will take the basket from your hands, v'hidicho lifnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha, and place it before the altar. V'onita v'amarta, and you will, different words on what this means, but v'onita means you will respond and say, but lechem oni gets into here, because that's the same root as v'onita, and one of the interpretations of lechem oni, when we say holach ma'anya, it's usually translated as, this is the bread of affliction, because anya is related to inui. Inui is affliction. But it's also related to oneh, to respond, to answer. And they say that it is, this is the bread upon which many questions will be answered in the course of the Seder. V'yanita v'yamarta, and you shall say, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, before God, and here are the familiar words, Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Shem Bimtei Ma'at, Vayisham L'Goy Gadol Atzum Varav. These next four psukim, what I just read and three more, are the core. That's the word I was looking for. The core of Magid. When you are telling over the story of Mitzrayim, Chazal said, here is the skeleton, the core, the outline that you shall use. You shall say, Arami Oved Avi, which is generally translated as the conniver or the Aramite, referring to Lavan, attempted to vanquish my father, meaning Yaakov. Vayered Mitzrayma, Yaakov ended up in Egypt. Vayogar Shem Bimtei Ma'at, he lived there first as a small family. Vayisham L'Goy Gadol Atzum Varav, and grew to be a large multitude in Egypt. Vayoreu Otonu Hamitzrim Vayaanunu, and the Egyptians afflicted us, there's the word oni again, it's almost like a play on words. Vayitidu aleinu avodah kasha, and placed upon us hard labor. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei avoteinu, we called to God. Vayishma Hashem et koleinu, God heard our voice. Vayaret onyeinu, saw our oppression, our affliction. Ve'et amoleinu, ve'et lachatzeinu, the labor and the pressure under which we were. Vayotzieinu Hashem mi'mitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt. Biyod chazaka uvizroa netuya, uvimora gadol uvautot uvimofetim, and took us out with the mighty hand, the outstretched arm, and wonders and miracles. Now, alright, that's the four psukim that the authors of the Haggadah, the editors of the Haggadah, made the outline of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And commentaries explain various reasons why it's a great choice, top of which is it's so short. You cannot, at the night of the Seder, sit down with a Chumash and go through Shmot, Vo'era, Bo, and Bishalach. It's not practical. If you have a four pasuk summary, it works very well, because then you could do with it what you want.
You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio, the pre-Pesach show, and we are going through the shiur that was given to the Torah Tidbits folders, a very large edition of Torah Tidbits, which was really a triple issue for Tzav HaGadol, all of Pesach, and the Shabbat following, Parshat Shmini. So, let us continue with that shiur. Thanks for listening.
First, the editors of Haggadah suggested what we do with it. We analyze some of the phrasing. What do you mean, Vayogar Shem? He lived there, but it doesn't say, it uses the word for living, which has the connotation of ger, which is a stranger. And that's said to the credit of Yaakov, that as long as he spent in Egypt, he felt like a stranger. Which, by the way, is how all Jews are supposed to feel in all places of this world, with the exception of Eretz Yisrael. The problem, one of the problems with exile, especially certain exile, like the U.S. of A. and other nice places to live, is that people stopped viewing themselves as strangers in a strange land, in an alien land, and got to like it too much. And we've had problems because of that.
Out called The Pity of It All about the Jews of Germany and how they felt like they were
Right, which Americans have to read, American Jews, because they said, oh, that's not us. That was them, you know. Now, here, all of this has been setting the groundwork for the direction I want to take here. The Bikurim Bringer not only recites these four psukim that the editors of the Haggadah put into the Haggadah and made them much more familiar to us than from our experience of bringing Bikurim, which we don't have yet, but we certainly know these psukim from the Haggadah. Just train of thought, it reminds me once I asked students of mine where certain words came from, expecting somebody to say Tehillim and knowing even which chapter in Tehillim, and he said instead Shlomo Karabach. You know, so yes, he borrowed those words from Tehillim. He put a tune to them, but you know, they don't come from him. Similarly, where does Arami Oved Aviv Vayered Mitzrayim come from? Not the Haggadah. It comes from the Torah, borrowed by the Haggadah. And the same thing with various Mishnayot that they borrowed.
When you talked about that before, it's like temporary.
The language in the Haggadah is melamed, that it teaches us shalo yorad Yaakov lehishtakea, to stay there. I guess if you, I was more of a linguist, I would give you all the words for dwell, to live, and like even in English, what's the difference between dwelling and living and whatever? No. Residing, correct. Okay, but the Bikurim Bringer goes one more pasuk. He says, Yaakov went down as a small family to Egypt and then grew to a large nation and they were oppressed and they called out to God and God took them out. Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and he brought us to this place, because this place can only be Eretz Yisrael, because you can't bring Bikurim any place else. He brought us to this place. Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazot, and he gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. No, this is Eretz Yisrael we're talking about. No. God took us out of Egypt, and the Bikurim Bringer, who was in Yerushalayim with his first fruits that he grew from the land of Israel, says, and God brought us to this place. Now the Haggadah editors stopped short of that last puzzle, because they were focusing on Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus, includes how we got down there in the first place, what happened when we were there, how we responded when we were there, and how God took us out. To carry the story further, and he brought us to Eretz Yisrael, first of all, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael really to say that. Second of all, it's not part of that part of the story that the Balei Haggadah, the editors of the Haggadah, were putting together in order to fulfill the mitzvah of V'higanta Levincha Bayom Ha'u Lemor, and you shall tell your child on that day, saying, because of this, God took us out of Egypt. It's not meant to focus on coming to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I'm not faulting anything here, but this is where I'm going, this is what I'm saying. We do allude to the rest of this passage. How? Dai dayenu. What do we say there? Ilu hotzianu mi Mitzrayim, had God taken us out of Egypt, but not punished the Egyptians, we would have sufficient cause to thank him. If he would have just punished them, but he had not done this for us, we would have sufficient cause to thank him. That's Dayenu. Well, we keep going, and now we're out of Egypt, and now we're crossing the sea, but the story doesn't stop there. The editor, or the author, I should say, or the poet who made Dayenu keeps going. Had God not taken us through the Midbar and provided us with the mud? Wait a minute, that's not part of Pesach. It's a poem, it's a song, let me go. And you go on to the mud in the Midbar, to receiving the Shabbat even before you get to Sinai, to getting to Sinai. Whoa, wait a minute, this is not Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Could be an objection. And we keep going. How far do we go? All the way. Into Eretz Yisrael, into the building of the Beit HaMikdash, l'chaper al avonoteinu, to atone for sins. So, yes, on the one hand, the main body of Psukim with its analysis that fulfills Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus, is just up to that God took us out. The Haggadah includes, at least first in Dayenu, the rest of the story, which it's as if we're telling the people at the Seder, we're not there yet. Pesach doesn't celebrate that yet. We will start counting the Omer building up to Matan Torah. And you know that Shavuot is not just Zman Matan Torah Teinu, but it also celebrates coming to Eretz Yisrael, proof of which is, it is Yom HaBikurim, and Bikurim is specifically Eretz Yisrael oriented, and there are many other indications that that's what Shavuot is, the Shtei HaLechem, etc., etc. But we now are looking for a balance. The main story is, we got into Egypt, we were oppressed, we called out to God, and he took us out. That's the main stuff. But you really can't stop there. You need to flesh it out with a little bit more, but don't get carried away with that. Don't dwell on Matan Torah yet. That's a different holiday. Don't dwell on Eretz Yisrael. That's a different holiday. Here you are dwelling on the Exodus. Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo kiilu hu yatzal mi-Mitzrayim. In every generation, a person has to see himself as if he came out of Egypt. And not just our ancestors, but it's a personalized experience. Which, by the way, is another reason for the choice of Parshat Bikurim. Because Bikurim is first person. You're not reading the Psukim in Shmot the way they tell the narrative there. You're saying me, I, we. And that brings across that point of, in every generation, a person has to see it and personalize it and internalize it. Then there's more. Even in the opening statement, Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, what do we say? Hashata Hacha, now we are here, meeting in Galut, Lashana Haba, Ba'aradi Yisrael. Next year, Amir Tzashem will be in Israel. And we still say that, even though we're already here. And that has to do with the meaning of Galut and how it's not complete, the Gula, until the building of the Beit HaMikdash and a whole bunch of other things. But it's already there. Maybe. What else?
Maybe. Even if we're here, maybe we're not here.
Correct. In a certain way, that's true. She who has cell phone. I have to get some Chinese proverbs to translate for that.
Who doesn't?
Now there's more. The four cups of wine which we drink correspond to the four psukim that we analyze, which correspond to the four terms of redemption. The four terms of redemption are V'hotzeiti, I will take you out. V'hitzalti, I will save you. V'ga'alti, I will redeem you. V'lokachti, etchem li la'am, and I will take you unto me as a nation. there's more to that prophecy. The prophecy says, I will bring you to Eretz Israel. That corresponds to the fifth pasuk. It corresponds to the fifth cup of wine, which most people fill but don't drink. We call it Elijah's cup, Kos Shel Eliyahu. That's a fifth cup which we should be drinking if the story would get to the point of, and we lived happily ever after. But that's not Pesach yet. Pesach is the four terms of redemption. God took us out, saved us, redeemed us, and we became his nation by virtue of his taking us out from under Paro's rule. We subject ourselves to his rule. The Veheveti part, and I will bring you, has been, and then we lost it, we came back, and we lost it, we came back, and we're still coming back, but we're not there yet. That's why most people fill that fifth cup, but don't drink it. But my point is that we fill it. In other words, we don't ignore it completely. And then the end of the Haggadah, the original end of the Haggadah, was not Chagadya. Chagadya was added later. The original end of the Haggadah, if you look at Rambam, where he shows you what he says is the original Haggadah, ends Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuya, which we say towards the end, but then we have a lot of other stuff after. But that was originally the ending, just like it ends Yom Kippur, at the end of Ne'ilah, the end of the Kaddish of Ne'ilah, where you say, Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuya, so too the Haggadah, Leil HaSeder, ended with Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, which means there it is again. There you're doing the Dayenu thing. You're going past Yetziat Mitzrayim, past the experience at the sea, through the Midbar to Sinai, with the Torah, into Eretz Yisrael. So you've got it at the beginning, Holach Ma'anya, Hoshata Avdei Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin, but Hoshata Hocha, here we are now, Lashon Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. You have it in the Dayenu, you have it with the fifth cup, and you have it with Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim, at least those places. Which means it's not ignored, but it's not dwelt upon, it's not focused. So here's my point, finally. There are Jews, I don't want to put it like that. One, in my opinion, has to have the healthiest perspective on the rest of the sequence. We should not view the modern state of Israel as the realization of the dream, and that's it, we're finished. They're missing something if you have that attitude. Nor should we ignore the establishment of the modern state of Israel as a significant step towards the Geula. And there are people who don't. And I believe that that healthy balance comes from fill the fifth cup, but don't yet drink it. Speak of the fifth pasuk, but don't yet include it in the Haggadah. Put it in the song of Dayenu. Refer to it here, allude to it there, but I think that's the healthiest perspective. And to me, even though this was a Pesach shir, not a Yom HaTzmaut shir, that's my attitude in Yom HaTzmaut. I think one of the most significant aspects of Yom HaTzmaut, the way the original Rabbanut created it, was the greeting that is exchanged officially on Yom HaTzmaut. Sounds corny, so a lot of people don't use it, and a lot of people don't use it for other reasons, but it's one person says to his fellow, Mo'adim l'simcha, b'yotif. The answer is L'geula shlema, to the final and complete redemption. Yes, I share your sentiment of Mo'adim l'simcha, that this is a point to acknowledge God and to thank him for good things, but The goal is L'Geula Shlema.
What constitutes L'Geula Shlema?
Jews coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Jews coming back to Torah, a Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt, the Sanhedrin being restored, a Torah state. That's my summary of Geula Shlema. When you have the whole Eretz Yisrael with all of the Jews following the Torah, that's what you're talking about. Apropos that, I wrote it in Torah Tidbits. You'll see it if you read carefully, but it's stuck into a little corner. I had one of those experiences that I enjoy very much of getting another little, let's call it a tidbit for lack of a better term, of Eretz Yisrael. Even today, there's something special about it. I paid a shiva call to my mechutenet, or machatenet, however you want to call it.
Shviger.
Tell me what it's called. No, not my shviger. My machatenet. That's not a shviger. Shviger is a mother-in-law. This is my daughter's mother-in-law, my mechutenet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I paid a shiva call last week, and I see in Petach Tikva, and I see on the building not only the Modat Evel, the death notice, but signs all over the street saying you don't have to use a parking ticket today. I found out that if anyone is sitting shiva in Petach Tikva, and I don't know where else, maybe it's in Yerushalayim and people just don't know about it, you can call up the municipality of Petach Tikva and say there's a shiva house on such and such a street, and they cancel the parking fees for that street because they know that a lot of people come to visit and they should have a place to park without having to pay for it. I was bowled over by that.
Yeah.
Such a, you know, because I wonder, I don't know if they do it with other things, you know, like there's a bris, you know, and people, but it makes sense if you think about it for this perspective. People who live in a neighborhood don't have to pay. You know that when you live in a neighborhood, you get a sticker that you put on your car, and you don't have to put in money in the meter, or you don't have to put in money where there's a blue and white side curb. But other people from out of the neighborhood do have to pay. But here, because so many people are coming to visit the shiva house, they cancel the fee for that block. I thought that was wonderful, and it was like, you know, only in America. I mean, oh. That was not a slip of the tongue. That was intentional. I always found that Only in America by Golden, Scottish for Harry Golden, that book was my inspiration for the counterpart of Only in Israel.
Let's finish with a little bit of Chad Gadya from Avi Barak's album on a Karlbach Seder. Let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat Gadol Shalom, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and Lehishtameya.
ואוכלו לגדיו, ואוכלו לגדיו. וזבינה בו בשרי זוזי, בשרי זוזי. חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו. חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו. ויוסקל בו ונושך לשונרו, ונושך לשונרו. ויוכלו לגדיו דזבינה בו בישרי זוזי חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי חד גדיו חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי חד גדיו ויוסו חוטרו ויקור את כלבו ונושך לשונרו ואוכלו לגדיו דזבינה בו בישרי זוזי חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי חד גדיו חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי
כלבו דנושך לשונרו דאוכלו לגדיו דזבינה פה בישרי זוזי עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו דיוסו מיו וחובו לנורו דסורו לחוטרו דהיקו לכלבו דנושך לשונרו דאוכלו לגדיו דזבינה פה בישרי זוזי עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו ויוסו מיו וחובו לנורו דסורו לחוטרו דהיקו לכלבו דנושך לשונרו דאוכלו לגדיו דזבינה פה בישרי זוזי עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו עד גדיו, עד גדיו אוי חד גדיו ויוסו סוירו ושוסו למיו וחובו לנורו דסורך לחוטרו דהיקו לכלבו ונושך לשונרו